Shall I have no other gods before me? And you shall not make for yourself a statue or a picture of anything in the heavens above, or in the earth below, or in the waters below the earth. So the Mechilta goes to great length to depict all of the things that a person cannot make in an attempt to represent something which to them is going to assume some aspect of divinity, and some things which, even if you don't want them to be, to assume any kind of divine significance, you're still not allowed to make them or have them. Statues of people, for example, if they're complete, are prohibited. So you might want to look around and check that that we're not in violation of that commandment. I still have great difficulty understanding why we are so liberal with the possession of children's dolls. I have no idea about why those are accepted. You know what I mean? Lo yasala demus kalela. I might think the Mechilta goes on that you cannot make a likeness of any of these things which go before, which you, there's an entire list over here of things that you're not allowed to make. Avol yasala demus tahim v'cheshech. I would think that you'd be allowed to make some likeness to the deep, which refers to, I don't know, something like the bowels of the earth, and darkness. Talmud lema v'asha b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. So the Torah comes to tell us you cannot make any kind of image or statue of anything which is in the waters below the earth. Lahavi es habuvia, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says this comes to tell us that you cannot, should not, make a representation of your reflection in the water. One of those things that is prohibited if you're doing it for the sake of idolatry. The sun and the moon appear to be under the prohibition, which prohibits having them, even if you have no intention at all to use them for an idolatrous purpose. Yes. And those are even pictures of the sun and the moon.
Like the sunset?
Yes.
Sunrise?
Yes. That's what appears to be the case. In any event, this is a most curious kind of statement that Rabbi Akiva would find that the pasuk over here is coming to tell us the extent to which a person is not permitted to make any kind of a likeness, and it's ruled out by or addressed by the pasuk of or anything in the waters beneath the earth. So, while I'm certain that that we must accept that at its face value, and that he's telling us a prohibition if somebody decides that he wants to make an idolatry out of his reflection in the water, that he should not make a likeness of that reflection in the water. It would seem to me that Rabbi Akiva over here has some further objectives in mind, and I can relate to one or possibly all of three things. The first would be that that there's people as they really are and should be, with the grasp of their who they are and what they are capable of doing, and what they are, in fact, because of what they're capable of doing, what they're obligated to do. In other words, this potential with which we are created is not an accident. It's there because the Almighty wishes us to actualize it, wishes us to make that potential active forces in our lives. So, if rather than address who we are in reality, if we were to make some very vague representation, just a faint shadow, something which is shallow and which is nothing other than just a kind of a likeness that appears, a very surface likeness that appears reflected in the water, which is, it's not us, it's just something which is, it's a reflection of us. If that's what we choose, if that's what we make a demus of, if that's what we make a likeness of, and we hold that up to be ourselves. And here we read the pasuk in much the same way that the Rechaim HaKadosh reads this pasuk. He says as follows. He says that a person is created in the image of his creator. An individual is born with the Tzelem Elokim. He's born with this essence, which is a direct product of the Almighty, and consequently, in himself, bears the identity of, and to some extent also the capacities of, his Creator. So if an individual replaces that image with an image which is the antithesis of what God imprinted upon man. God imprinted upon man the capacity to be something very remarkable, very great. And instead, we turn ourselves into veritable animals. We become just another one of the creatures that slither across the face of the earth. If we've replaced the image that he has put upon us with another image, then we have violated Lo Yilcha Elohim Achirim Al Ponai. I gave you a face. I gave you my face. Ponim. I gave you my image. And I'm telling you, do not replace my image with Elohim Achirim, with the images of other forces, animalistic forces. Lo yilach Elohim achirim al panai. Do not superimpose upon my person, upon my face, the face that I gave you, Elohim achirim. And he says, lo sasa lecha fesel. That pesel over here comes from the same word that you would use if you were to take a coin and you would take the imprint on that coin and you would deface it. You would rub it out. That would be called, in the words of our sages, of being poselim beya. That would, you would be destroying the imprint of the matbeya. So he says, losas lechofesel. Do not become a defaced Do not allow yourself, do not make of yourself something which is defaced. In other words, I have given you a divine image. Do not deface yourself. So much in that same regard, if we follow that that line of interpretation, then what he's also adding over here is do not deface yourself or defile yourself by limiting yourself to a tmuna, to an image, which is a mere almost a fantasy of yourself. It's not really there. It's just a very distant reflection of what you really are. Don't become or attempt to live up to just some very shallow picture of who and what you are, which is nothing more than something that appears in a reflection in the water. And that's what he says, Lahavi Esabuvya. It comes to tell me that a person should not make an image of his reflection. Meaning don't lock yourself into some very shallow, vague reflection of yourself. A person must grow into becoming completely what they're able to become. The second point of reference for Rabbi Akiva's statement might be the following. If we define ourselves by our own standards and goals, if we try to become what we appreciate and believe is respectable, desirable, if these are things that we genuinely understand, that these are the values that are deserving of our regard, these are things that we should try to become, then at the very least, what we are trying to become is authentic. And it's totally under our control. Life may throw us a lot of curveballs. But since we try to live by our standards, then the way in which we will grow, the people that we will become, will be determined by our values, and we will be trying to become something which is a direct expression of what we believe is worthwhile becoming. But the majority of us do not become what we want to become because we have studied these values, or because we've reflected upon them and decided that these are the things that we believe in, and these are the things that we understand are worth working for, that these are the attributes of character that we would wish to aspire to make part of ourselves. Most of us live by what we believe out there wants. Out there is determined that that certain standards are respectable, despite the fact that they may have nothing at all to do with what is genuine and what is what's worthy of our respect. So the world out there has decided that if we possess certain things or do certain things, that makes us great, and that makes us important, and that makes us successful. In short, we spend our lives pursuing becoming, owning, determining our lives according to how others construct our person. It's not how we would construct it. We don't even ask that question. We are busy trying to become something that we see, if you will, reflected in the eyes and minds of others. That's what we're busy working on. So 90% of the world is in this mad rush to become something which is has never really gone through the process of introspection, of consideration, of deliberation, of asking ourselves, are these my ideals? Are these my values? Is this really worth working for? Should I be doing these things? Should I not be doing those? We're not. And the only things that we do ask ourselves, and what determines success and failure in life, and the things that we spend a lot of energy on, are what other people think. And Rabbi Kiva says to us, do not make an image for yourself to work for, which is not you, how you see yourself, but how others see you. You're busy looking at your reflection in some other entity. So in this case, it's Abuvia is in the way it appears in the water, the way you see yourself in the water. And the rest of us is the way we see ourselves either in society or in the eyes of our friends or in the eyes of whatever environment is significant to us. Rabbi Kiva says that is part of Lo Yilch Lo Sasa Lecha Peso. Do not imprison yourself by a picture of yourself that doesn't emerge from yourself but emerges from someplace else. And perhaps yet a third point of reference for the Bakiva's remarks. Somewhere about the beginning of this century, the influence in our understanding of the human psyche was dramatically influenced by a fellow by the name of Freud. And Freud developed a very extensive view of the unconscious of man. Now, man has what we know to be a conscious experience. But there are all kinds of things that lurk in our unconscious. All kinds of drives, influences that manifest themselves in our lives in ways that make our behavior very frequently completely unintelligible even to ourselves. We ourselves don't know why we are driven as we are driven. We seem to be driven to do things that are self-defeating and we can't control. And there are those, in fact, who believe, as Freud believed, that we are subservient to those forces. That the sub and unconscious influences are so powerful that that we must in some instances capitulate to them. As things have become much more sophisticated, there are those who believe that ways of bypassing the conscious to influence the unconscious with things like hypnosis is one of the ways in which we can alter that rule of determination. But for somebody to say to themselves, my choice is very limited or is non-existent, because I am, in the last analysis, I am bound by forces that inhere deeply within my psyche, in the darkest recesses of my being, where they are inaccessible to me, And those are fundamental, they're powerful, and they drive and determine my life in the present to the point where I must surrender to them. I cannot really exercise what we would like to believe is free will or choice over these drives, because they are so powerful. So we are limiting ourselves, and we are imprisoning ourselves, and perhaps crippling ourselves by an image which excuses all of our faults and many of our vices by going back to a stage in life where we didn't have any control over parts of our lives that we can't remember because we have buried them so deeply. That is referred to as b'mayim mitachas la'aretz, that there is water that is part of tahim v'cheshech, it's part of the deep, it's part of the darkness. And it's a buvya, it's a self reflected in those waters. In other words, there's a self that we're conscious of, but there's another self that inheres in that unconscious, in the depths, in the time of the human being. There's a Gemara in the Dunham which tells the following story. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the outstanding figures of the second Vayis, a very commanding figure. He was the Kohen HaGadol, and Shimon HaTzadik had a practice that he, when a Nazirite would come to bring a certain offering as a result of the fact that the Nazirite has certain restrictions, not permitted to drink wine, or anything that's a derivation of wine, grapes, and so on. And he's not permitted to come in contact with death. And if he does violate the laws of his Nazirus, then he has to bring a korban, he has to bring an offering, and he has to start the counting all over again until he completes it. And the Stam Nazirus is 30 days. Anyway, it says that Shimon HaTzadik, for reasons which we won't go into right now, Shimon HaTzadik said, Miyomai Tzabarais. In the Dorim of Tesla and Bez, it's also a Nazir, and it's also in Medrash Rabin Bamidbar, in Pashis Nasa. Sign you will learn in a Bereis. Amar Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik said, Miyomai Leachalti Oshim Nazir Tami. In all my days, ate of the sacrifice of a Nazir who had brought this Asham offering because he had become contaminated by death. El Echa. There was one exception. What was the case? Pamachas Boad Mechad Nazir Min Adobe. One time, a person came, a Nazirite from the south. I saw that he had beautiful eyes, and he was very handsome. The kivtsoisov seduais leitaltalim, and he had hair that was apparently braided. He was a very striking figure. And he came to bring this sacrifice and to cut off his hair. And he apparently was a magnificent person. So he said, I said to him, B'ni ma'lu yisal hashchi ses sarecho zeh. What do you, why are you coming to destroy this beautiful hair? Amali, Raya hayisi la'aba be'iri. He said, I was a shepherd for my father in my city. Halachti l'male ismayim min amayim. Once I went to fill water from the spring. Nistakalti be'babu ashali. He says, and I looked in my reflection in the water. Upachaz alai yitzri. And my yetzer hara jumped on me. Ubikesh l'terdeni min ha'olam, and wished to drive me out of eternity. In other words, it wanted to convince me to do things, to follow the inclinations of my heart. Amalti lo, so I responded to my yetzer hara and was saying, Rasha, you wicked thing. Lama ata mizgah ba'olam she'eino shelcha. Why are you so arrogant in a world that doesn't belong to you? Over someone who's destined to be worms in the grave. I swear, that I will cut my hair off for the sake of heaven. So Shimon HaTzadik said, and I immediately stood up and kissed him on his head. Amalti lo, b'ni kamecha yirbu nezrei nezireis b'Yisrael. I said to him, there should be many such Nazirites as you in Israel. Alecha kotzvei marish ki aflilim d'ned donozel hazrat Shem. He says, it's about you that the Pasuk says that if it should come to pass that a person would take the oath of a Nazirite for God's sake. Okay, so Shimon HaTzadik over here tells this exceptional story of someone who was looked into his reflection in the water. And we need to ask ourselves over here just a couple of questions about his narrative. First of all, somebody, a Nazirite who came from the south. It's really relevant to the story if you came from the south or the east or the west or the north. What's more, the fact that he was a shepherd who worked for his father is also information that's irrelevant to his story, because the main thing is I saw my reflection in the well. I mean, that's the main part of the story. It seems to me that Marsha makes a suggestion in this direction, that when he says to Marsha, one of the other Mefoshim and Minyanko, he says that this reference to the south is because sometimes if you wish to speak about people whose lives are dedicated to the seeking of wisdom, where the advice is Aretzel Hachkim Yadrim, those who wish to become wise should go to the south. It's all the point of reference is the symbolism here of the menorah, which stood in the south part of the sanctuary. What he's saying is over here is that there was a Nazirite who was from the south, meaning this was a Nazirite whose life was spent in the pursuit of wisdom. In other words, this was a person of quality, person of depth. And he had come to bring this offering, and when he was questioned about why he was going to be cutting off this beautiful hair, he answered, "Raya hayisi la'aba. I was a shepherd for my father." The father figure over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what he's suggesting over here is that he was a shepherd of the Almighty's, one of the Almighty's flock. He was the Chacham of his city. As the shepherd of his city, he said, I halachti l'malos mayim. By the way, he doesn't say I went to fetch water, but I went to fill up with water, min hamayim, from the spring. Here the reference is that I went to fill my soul with the waters of the Almighty that come from the source, from the Almighty. In other words, I went to connect up with the Almighty. Now, anybody who wishes to connect up with the Almighty does face some very difficult moments, some moments of tension, which are a direct product of the person's placing himself in juxtaposition to the Almighty. In other words, anybody who goes to the Almighty immediately asks himself, or should ask himself the question, what am I doing here? Who am I to appear before the Almighty? I am a flawed being. I am imperfect in so many serious ways. What right do I have to stand before the throne of the Almighty? And that is a legitimate question, and it's a question which sometimes is asked by, not by our Yetzer HaTov, but rather by our Yetzer Hara. And what the story that he's telling over here is that as he went to attach himself to the Almighty, to fill his soul with God's waters, that nistakalti bebabua shali, that I took a look at the dark side of me. I took a look at the reflection of me as it appears in this unconscious. And I recognize that I appear before the Almighty with all of these dark forces within me. What am I doing here? I have no right to be here. And why do I even presume the right to serve the Almighty? And he says that as he became preoccupied with his reflection, so my Yetzer Hara decided to drive me out of this world. You know, I was very vulnerable at this point. So he said, so I took the tack of responding. What profit is there? What gain is there to follow your counsel, to follow your advice? This is to pursue the dark urges of that self that rises out of the unconscious is trying to take advantage of a very temporary world, a world which has no reality at all, a world which ultimately leaves that part of me that you're seeking to influence in an unpleasant grave. So, I'm going to rid myself of whatever trappings over here lend themselves to this exercise, namely this very impressive physical beauty that I have. I'm going to remove this hair, and I'm going to get myself out of danger. I'm going to get myself out of this discourse that I have with this babu, actually, with this subconscious or unconscious influence. So the Bekiv over here, when he's talking about the waters that are mitachas la'aretz, and is talking about le'sasa le'chafeso, do not make of yourself or for yourself some image, some peso, which is going to become that which you're going to live up to or down to. So he warns us about something which is ba'aretz mid, which is ba'mayim mitachas la'aretz. It's in the waters, reflected in some part of us which is beneath the aretz. It's beneath that which is immediately accessible and obvious to us. Rabbi Kiva helps us understand that this is the buvya. So any one of those, perhaps all of them, might very well be Rabbi Kiva's objective here in helping us understand that when we are not to make any kind of images or forms, that this is not only the kind of thing which corrupts or limits our service to the Almighty by introducing something which is objectionable to the Almighty, because there is nothing other than God's presence, but it also has reference about the fact that a person should not create any likeness or representation of himself which is going to be a pasul, or which is going to limit and cripple him, his ability to become himself. And those points of reference are something which is, in the first case, not his real self, or in the second instance, something which is not himself as determined by himself, but himself as reflected in the water. Because the moment that we give others control over our lives, then any ripple across the water, any waves, distort and destroy us. Or finally, the fact that there is a demus which lurks by mayim mitachas la'aretz, and Rebbe Kiva is warning us that if we should come to believe that we are not in control of our lives, but that there is something, that there is a demus of ourselves which is reflected in the mayim mitachas la'aretz, and that's what determines our lives, we should not, do not limit yourself in that way, do not create a likeness that you're going to live up to or down to, which is places you under the unrelenting influence of this dark force, but that people have b'chira chafshis, that they do have free choice, and that we have an obligation to exercise our responsibilities in our ingenuity in overcoming those forces to make of ourselves that which we understand we need to become.